So this is Will Gray with GolfChannel.com. We're doing a Monday Scramble special podcast here. Happy to be joined by Will Wilcox. Will, thanks for coming on and joining us to talk for a few minutes about life on tour.
No problem.
So before we get to Colonial and this week's event, some other things, we got to turn the clock back a little bit. We got to talk about TPC Sawgrass.
Oh, yeah.
So you had a nice little shot there on 17. Having had a couple of weeks to reflect, what was that like? What was the day or two days after that like for you?
The aftermath has been pretty cool. It's something that I didn't expect. Like Zach Johnson kind of coming up to me and giving me a hug and all. It's been a really cool deal. I can't believe what it meant to so many people. I guess it's been a long time. All it meant that I was going to have a good chance to make the cut. For it to happen then. But what was really hard is that I had another 10 holes to play after that. Having that happen mid-round is really, intense. But everybody in my family was there, and it was a great moment, and obviously we'll never forget it, especially at the Players every year, because they're going to be replaying it every year. And everybody just said the reaction is really what created the buzz.
The reaction was better than the shot.
Yeah. it was cool being the Island Green. That was just unbelievable. I wish I would have played better on Saturday, but one of the main things I tell people is that Freddie Jacobson has about 2-3 putts per season, and he had 4 that day. So it shows how difficult the golf course was playing. It was really tough. My first Players, I felt fine. I didn't drink too much on Friday night after the hole in one. I honestly didn't hit it that bad. I had to have had 40 putts though. So I just kind of let it get away from me. And I know that's not what people are going to remember me for, is the Saturday round. But to make the cut in my first Players and do it with that happening as well was, pretty special. So the fact that my family was there was really neat.
So you said you didn't have too many drinks yourself, but what was the biggest bar tab that you had to pick up afterwards?
Well, I picked up Mix, my caddy Mix, flight, our charter from New Orleans to Charlotte, and that was $400, and that was a little more than his bar tab at his own bar that he owns in Atlanta. So it worked out pretty good that way. And, obviously the media and stuff, the tour is really cool about getting all that settled or, worked out. So we look like total legends if you make a hole in one.
We appreciate that.
Yeah, it's great. Nice. Shoot, I did too. I was beer waiting on me too. Doug Mellon from the tour is great, and he got all that dialed in for me, so it made me look pretty cool. But so I have him to thank. But other than that, I think my bar tabs in the future will be more. Not so much at this point, but I can't wait to buy other people beers as a result of that shot.
So where's the ball?
It's at Mick's bar in Atlanta. Okay. Mick actually has my 59 ball from 2013 on the web too. Just randomly, it just worked out. He was in my group, and I don't know why I gave it to him or whatever.
He wasn't caddying for you then?
No, but he was in my group. He was working for Chopra then.
Okay.
He's got both of them, both yellow and both Strixon. I could get them at any point, obviously. It's not a big deal. But I'm not one to make scrapbooks or whatever, put it in a shadow box or anything like that. And my mom and dad aren't either. So maybe I'll give it to my grandpa at some point. But other than that, it's definitely special. But, there's plenty of yellow golf balls out there I could sign.
There you go. So you talked about, and you said it at Sawgrass too, about how the hole-in-one was great, but you're trying to make the cut.
Yeah.
And you're trying to get FedEx Cup points. You're 96th right now for the season.
Yeah.
So a lot of people think about just the glitz and glamour of some of the top elite guys.
Yeah, yeah.
But for the vast majority of players, it's a fight for the top 125, to keep your card year in and year out. So what's that like for you being in the middle of it, that maybe it's a battle that a lot of people don't see?
I just feel lucky to be out here. So it's a little bit of luck. Obviously, you got to work your butt off, and you need some ability on top of that. Fortunately, I was blessed with a couple of those, and I don't have Spieth talent or whatever, or Jason Day, but I'm getting my bills paid and all that stuff, so everything's gonna be fine. But a lot of people don't really understand what goes into it or what it takes to continue on the tour. So I haven't been playing well at all this year. Last year I think I made 1.3 in 16 starts. This year I've played maybe 18 or 19 and have made 670. So that's clearly, and that was in small purses, whatever. I've my game's definitely made a turn. I've made 4 of my last 5 cuts. I'm starting to do good. I've had a good finish in New Orleans. So, you know, I think the tour card now will maybe be about $750 earned. So, no, I'm happy with where my game's headed for sure. It's been a struggle. Like, since, I'll never forget it, on New Year's Eve, I felt something hit my golf game on my swing that day, and I've been fighting so hard ever since to get it figured out, and that's just how it goes. I mean, you know, like, there's a lot of good players that are having tough years, and there are every year. So, you know, it's doing stuff like this helps educate the general public on what all there is involved, and how it's not all, I mean, it's pretty fancy out here. Like, they treat us really, really good. I'm not saying, like, you know, the top players get treated that much better, but you know, it's definitely, it can be a struggle for sure. Like, I had some cuts I missed on courses that I love, and you know, it's just like, you just lose your game. So but then it comes back normally and everything's good.
So what happened on New Year's Eve? Were you playing? Just, was it a mental thing?
Just, I mean, I'm all feel. I'm all self-taught. And just, I developed a swing habit that just caused me to get way underneath it, and I was stuck, and it caused my hips to not work the correct way. And there's just so many moving parts in a golf swing that you just gotta, you know, if one thing that's more important than the others gets out of whack,
you're snowballing out.
Then it just gets worse and worse and worse. And I remember first term of the year in Hawaii, I knew I was playing bad, and everybody's like, you know, I was like fourth in the power ranks or something, and people are just kind of like, oh, well, this is Wilcox's week, you know, because I had just come off a great run in 2015. I played the best golf of my life. It was awesome. Golf was the easiest thing I've ever done, and then I completely lost my game and missed the cut by 9-10 shots, you know. And so the Twitter world came after me, and I think I've groomed my fans to, you know, now they don't give me crap anymore. It's awesome. Everybody on Twitter has been extremely supportive. I think I handled that correctly to where now no one comes at me really hard. So, which is nice. And I know it's not all about Twitter or DraftKings
it's
or
all
that
about
stuff.
It's all about Twitter.
Yeah, everything in life is about Twitter.
Right.
But no, I love messing with people on there, and it's been good for my career and recognition. And so, but anyways, you know, I like where I'm at right now, and I think the next couple months will be a lot of fun.
So for people that don't know, you turned pro in 2009, 2010. Yeah. So you've been around for a few years, bouncing back and forth between PGA and Web.com Tour. Last year was the first time you made the FedEx Cup playoffs. Mm-hmm. So you're in the top 125, and you kind of get to pick a little bit more of your schedule. Whereas mm-hmm. last year you had to play wherever you could. So what's that process like? Still going to courses that you don't really know, mm-hmm. but being able to have a little more control over your schedule.
Yeah, it's been a weird year in that way because, you know, I've been playing awful. I've really been playing terrible. And, you know, I'm my own biggest critic, and, I mean, you just look at the stats. Like, it's a joke. Like, last year I was top five in everything, and now I'm outside the top 100 in everything. So, you know, I'm holding my own. You know, I'm not embarrassing myself out here, but, you know, it's been a frustrating thing knowing that I get all these starts. You know, I'm in these big fields. I'm seeing everybody that I've seen on TV since I was little. And then I'm playing bad. So it's just like, you know, I'm in front of these huge crowds, and just, it's been a weird year. But I mean, obviously it's great to be able to pick the schedule. But last year, I mean, you know, I had, you know, to this point, I mean, I had more fun last year because I was top 25 every week that I played. And now, I mean, I would kill for a top 25. Not literally, obviously, but
hope not.
Yeah. So I would do anything for a top 25. So it's like, you know, I'm looking forward to starting to play similar to what I did last year, so I can get, you know, I can get better and better on the FedEx Cup and the FedEx Cup list. And, you know, I want to keep my card this year, and then maybe in 17 I can really come into my own and become like a regular, you know, whatever name at the top. That would be cool. But golf's hard, you know. I mean, I'm sure I'll develop something crazy in the next year and I'll forget how to play again, but that's just how it goes.
I hear you. So you said earlier, you mentioned Twitter and social media, and you're one of those guys that's really gotten out in front of the Twitter game and really embracing the fantasy and daily fantasy, you know, lineups and things like that, where you'll tweet at people and say, hey, mm-hmm. I don't have it this week, don't start me, or you'll go on the other side and say, listen, this is a good week, slot me, and go for it. You've sent clubs, I believe, mm-hmm. to people that send you crap on Twitter, a little bit of reverse psychology, get some karma
and
going.
It's worked out.
It's great. It worked out. So what's your thought behind, I guess, just social media in general, how it should be embraced, how you choose to embrace it?
I mean, it's huge for getting the name out there, and I mean, you know, there's a lot of people that I know already on there, so they can keep up with me. People that, you know, I've grown up with or whatever. You know, and it's just on my phone. It's not like I'm having to do really anything. And I like talking to people anyway, you know. So I think, you know, it increases the knowledge of the game. People will know a lot more about the players and a lot more about the stats, the courses, the personalities. So I think it's a great thing. I mean, and especially since, you know, you can do it on the plane, you can do it whatever, sitting at a stoplight or whatever. I mean, you shouldn't text and drive, but it's still a situation where I think it's been great for me. I know that. I've got a lot of fans now that yell at me on the course, and they want my autograph, and they want to buy me a beer or whatever. So, I mean, I think it's been great for the game and every sport, for that matter. I mean, there's still, you got your standard idiots on there that are going to be really negative, but, you know, and unless somebody says something about, like, my mom or my family or something, I'm generally going to hit them with some kindness. I mean, I never say anything negative back, or at least I on the web I did a few times, and that always bit me, so I don't do that anymore. And, you know, obviously the tour could get mad at you if you were too negative to somebody, so...
Not that we'd ever know.
Yeah, I mean, it would just spread like wildfire. It's crazy, and so you got to really watch what you say, but I like to just totally reverse it on people, and they generally, I mean, they do, they always follow me, they always become a fan, and then they say only positive things after that. So I think that's a good thing.
So you're a guy that looks at stats. What's one stat that you pay most attention to?
I mean, the greens and reg, I mean, I look at them all, but I mean, and it's more, it's just the ones on the PGA Tour app, you know. There's right. What, like driving distance, accuracy, scrambling, putting, and greens and reg, or I don't know if I already said that. But anyways, my greens and reg is one of the most frustrating parts of this year. I think I'm like 150 or something, and last year I was fourth. And then last year in total driving, I was one or two. And all around, I think I was two. And now I don't even know what I'm in all around. I don't look at the stats as much as I did last year, because last year it was just so mind-blowing to me that...
Well, it's positive reinforcement, too.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. I mean, I knew I was doing the right stuff. I mean, I was hitting 16 greens around and 13 fairways and putting awful. And now I'm putting a little bit better. But I'm, you know, it doesn't feel like I'm hitting it that bad, but I know the courses are a lot harder too. I mean, I'm playing in Puerto Rico and Pebble and, you know, Dallas, John Deere, whatever, all those. So, you know, I think the most I missed a cut by all last season was one shot. I mean, now this year I've missed multiple cuts by four and five and six, and in Hawaii it was more than that. So in Hawaii I was in the last group my rookie year on Sunday. So, you know, I want to get that greens and reg up. Last week I hit it a lot better. Finished 49th, you know, which is all right. It's hanging in there. I got some FedEx Cup points out of the deal. It's better than missing the cut, obviously. Yeah, I mean, I just want my greens and reg. You know, you got to hit it. You got to hit it good. Your proximity to the hole is a big one, too, which was way up there last season. So, you know, I set the bar really high for myself. So this year has been definitely a disappointment, but I'm still more than happy to just be out here and have everything going the way, because I mean, I know there's so many guys that consider themselves pro golfers that would just really like to be in my position. So I try not to complain about it hardly at all. I think I just complained to my mom on the phone, really.
So your mom is the coach at UAB, correct?
Yeah.
What's that like, having your mom be a golf coach, be involved in golf growing up and things like that?
I mean, it's great. They never pushed me at all. She just was like, if you want to go play, we'll go play. You know, we'll take you somewhere to play in a tournament. It was mostly just local stuff. But, I mean, I just rode with her to work every day. I was too small to play other sports. I mean, I was a decent baseball player, but...
what position did you play in baseball?
I was pitcher and then third base. And then when the coach moved to the outfield, and when I was 12, I was like, I'm out. And I was okay at soccer, too. But I was always way too small. I was the smallest kid in my high school, including girls, my sophomore year, legitimately.
Wow.
I was probably, you know, maybe 80 pounds, about 4'8". Like, I was the smallest kid in school and when I was 15. So I have friends that are 6'2", that are shaving, that are driving, you know. And I'm the smallest
kid in school.
You're
looking up at seventh graders.
Yeah. And I'm literally looking up at fifth graders. So, you know, football wasn't for me.
Right.
Soccer wasn't for me. Baseball wasn't for me. Because everybody at that point, a lot of the kids are pretty huge at that point. So I just rode to work with mom every day. And then I started playing good golf. And I ended up getting a full ride to UAB. And so, I mean, it worked out good in the end. And yeah, mom being there for me the whole time was huge. She obviously just rode to the golf course every day anyways. So, I mean, it was a perfect storm. My mom was a really good player. My dad was a good athlete. And like I said, so my family, it wasn't a huge financial burden on them to have me playing golf, because that's where mom made her money already. So, because we didn't have a bunch of money growing up at all. I mean, we did fine. We weren't missing meals, but it was just a natural progression of it through her. And she, you know, she would spend hours with me on the driving range when she wasn't given lessons of her own.
So after a couple of years now, get your feet under you on the main tour, what's been the biggest challenge for you in terms of adjusting to life on tour, the week in, week out grind, things like that?
I mean, I don't really get tired. I mean, the web is a huge stepping stone. I mean, I played 11 weeks in a row out there one time, you know, so I'm on my
11.
Fifth. Yeah, 11.
That is a lot.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know guys that have played 14, 15 in a row. So I think to end the season out there, you go 14. Not everybody does that, obviously, but... you know, so, I mean, being on the web, I mean, you do 4 or 5 weeks in South America. You know, I mean, out here, you're doing on these easy back and forths, like, no big deal. Out here is just a pleasure in every way. I mean, it's, you know, this is the easiest deal. You know, compared to the web, this is just the absolute primo, obviously. Biggest tour in the world. They treat us great. It's, you know, I mean, you know, I traded in my Cadillac for a Lexus. It's like,
go.
It's a joke.
There you go.
So, and they're just really nice out here. So honestly, I wouldn't call it. I mean, it is a grind in some ways, but the travel's pretty convenient. I mean, it's nothing too bad. So I mean, if you're complaining about being on tour or getting tired out here, then you know, I mean, imagine if we were punching a time card somewhere in some factory, so making, you know, fractions of what we do out here. So it's I enjoy every moment of it.
You ever had a starstruck pairing? Every time you get on the first tee, that
maybe
you have to say, pinch yourself.
Yeah, rookie year. Let's see, who did I get paired with? I mean, more of like my rookie year on the web when I got paired when I played with Zach Johnson in a practice round at the U.S. Open. That was pretty cool. That was, you know, I couldn't hardly pull the club back.
Was that at Bethpage?
No, 11 was at Congressional.
Oh, Congressional 11. Yeah.
Yeah, and playing with VJ last year was pretty cool. I don't think he said anything until the eighth hole of the day, so he didn't say a word.
That seems about right.
I mean, he's a cool dude. Yeah. Like, he's definitely a cool guy.
But he's not going to talk your ear off.
Yeah, he's not going to talk your ear off, but, so I'm not bad-mouthing VJ, yep. But I'm just saying, you know, I mean, everybody's just, you know, it's a job. I mean, they're going about their business. It's not social hour, so whatever. It's, you know, I definitely didn't take any offense to it. And that was probably his 500th PGA Tour event, so it's like your 600th. So it's like you can't cast stones when somebody doesn't say a lot. But played with Furyk at Tampa last year. That was really cool. But I haven't played with like Jason Day or Rory or Spieth or anything like that yet, which is pretty wild because Spieth's like 22 or something, and I'll turn 30 in a week. So, you know, it's hard to get starstruck by somebody that's 8 years younger than you. And I really don't with Spieth. With McIlroy, I do a little bit.
Why do you think the difference is between them?
I mean, there's just not as much of a aura around Spieth. You know what I mean? McIlroy's, I mean, he both very, very nice guys. Spieth is just such a chill, you know, not that Rory isn't, but, you know, Spieth comes up to me, you know, he's like, hey man, how are you? And Rory will say hello, but I'm just saying Spieth's just like a regular kid, you know, I mean, he should be a senior at Texas right now. So anyways, it's, him being a little younger and, you know, just, a, you know, American guy that's really personable. I mean, you know, I think we have a couple of similar friends and Smiley Kaufman and, you know, a couple other guys. So
you gonna try and work your way into SBK 217?
I will not be doing that. No. my vacations, I don't want any cameras around.
There you go.
I mean, I hear they're like getting in trouble, like talking to these girls at the bar. It's just like, what a waste of time. I can't believe they wanted those cameras around. Like, I've been asked about it 2 or 3 times in interviews and I'm like, I'll pass.
Right. All right. So you're a guy that likes to step up and just kind of hit the ball.
Yeah.
Pretty quick player. You think pace of play is an issue on tour? And do you think that the slow guys just don't care?
I'm pretty sure they don't care. I don't think it's a huge issue other than it might drive fans away. That could be frustrating. I mean, when you're in those last few groups on Sunday, though, I mean, there's a lot at stake. You know, it's kind of hard to, you know, cast stones about it. I'm sure I've been deliberate over putts and shots. So, I mean, you just got to factor everything in. I mean, especially when every swing is so important. you know, it's just a tough deal. Golf isn't a very quick-paced game. Obviously, you got to be a pretty big golf nerd to really enjoy watching it on TV if Tiger's not playing. So, you know, I mean, they're getting pretty deliberate out there, no doubt about it. Not that I've been in the last group in a while, but, you know, last weekend in Dallas was pretty darn slow, especially if you got threesomes. So, you know, whatever. I mean, it's just part of the game. I'm not going to, like, get any petition signed anytime soon. I know that. Whatever. If you're playing for $1 million, then, you know, maybe people just got to kind of deal with it. Just open up another beer and chill out.
There you go. All right, so let's take things off the golf course. What's your favorite sport, favorite team to root for?
I love the Hawks. I'm an NBA fan, more of a, which is pretty rare for people from Alabama, because we don't have any pro sports.
I was going to say, so you grew up in Birmingham. Yeah. And so that, you kind of just loop into the whole Atlanta scene by default.
You just default all that to Atlanta sports, going to Braves games as a kid. And not a big baseball guy, but I love the Falcons, too. I mean, a couple years ago when they made the playoffs, I think they did 2 years in a row. I mean, I don't know a lot about it. You know, I can't tell you lineups. I mean, I can tell you the popular, you know, famous players on every team, but... you know, I love the NFL. I mean, it's just such a circus out there. I just find it really fascinating. I think it's sad because those guys are killing each other, and like the workouts are getting better, the diets are getting better, the guys are getting bigger, and their joints aren't getting bigger. You know what I mean? They can't handle all those, you know, hits. But it's still so interesting to. I mean, $1 billion a year they're pulling in or whatever.
It's decent change.
Yeah. And what's his name? Goodell's getting $40 million. It's just like, what is going on out there? But it's just so fascinating, the whole thing. So, I mean, Falcons, Hawks for sure. I like Oklahoma City Thunder a lot just because I love Durant and Westbrook. So, won on them last night. So it's, I love watching the NBA. I love playoff time. So definitely any Atlanta sport. I mean, I guess I'll go to a Braves game or two a year. But like I say, baseball isn't really my deal. And I mean, I do love Auburn, and we'll definitely watch four or five of those games a year, try to go to one. Both my parents went to Auburn. My sister went to Auburn. Pretty much everybody on my dad's side of the family went to Auburn. So, you know, Auburn's my loyalty in college ball. Yeah, football and basketball are my go-tos.
You think the CTE stuff is going to make any changes with the NFL? Or do you think that...
I mean, that's the big question. I mean, I don't know about changes. I mean, I think you can't argue with the product at all. I mean, I think those guys know what they're getting themselves into, especially now. There's been some decent players quit in the last because they don't want to have that happen. I just can't imagine having to be in a sport like that. I feel lucky every day that I wasn't some huge kid growing up, because I would have definitely played football. Like, I begged my parents to let me play, but... thank God they didn't allow me to play. I would have been just...
what, 4'8 and 80 pounds?
Yeah.
I don't think I would have quite the slot receiver there.
Yeah, I don't think they wanted me. I mean, I had, like, moves. But, you know, playing in the yard with my friends, I thought it was really sick. But, you know, we weren't hitting each other, really. It's a crazy sport to witness. I mean, it is just so intense. And they're just trying to kill each other. It's really wild. But I love the NFL and will always watch it. You know, just God bless those guys, and I hope they're all right, because it affects everybody around them. I've read the articles. It's pretty wild, like the Junior Seau story and all these unfortunate things. And because then you're hurt, and so you're having to take the pain medication, and that alters your brain chemistry. And then when you're also getting hit in the head constantly, that's a bad combination. So. Yeah, I mean, you know, I feel for him, no doubt about it. I mean, when your career is only 2 or 3 years and you get, you know, a little taste of the caviar taste, and then you got to live the rest of your life,
yep,
whatever.
With a beer budget.
Yeah, right? With a beer budget. And then you're, you know, whatever. I'm just glad we don't have to take headshots in golf.
Yes. Best concert you ever been to?
I used to like 311 a lot in high school. I was a big 311.
We all did.
Yeah, everybody loved 311. I don't know what they're talking about on any of those songs, but I've read the lyrics and I'm like, this doesn't make any sense, but sounds
really
cool.
But when you're 16, it makes sense.
It makes so much sense. Love 311. I've been to probably 10 of those shows. Widespread Panic. I'm into like jam bands a lot. I've been to some really good ones that they had. Probably 10 of those as well. I always have excitement-wise, 311 was my favorite. But then they started releasing those new albums, starting with Don't Tread on Me, and I just couldn't take it anymore.
Stick with the vintage stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Gotta stay 90. It's gotta stay 89 through about 96 or 7, I think, with music.
I'll give From Chaos.
Yeah,
it was with a little towards then.
From Chaos, is a great one. What's the other one? The Sound System. Was it Sound System?
Yeah,
Sound System was a good one.
Top celebrity crush.
Tiger Woods. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Although I'm a huge Tiger fan, but I'll swing that way. I like, who we got? Man, that's putting me on the spot, isn't it? There's a lot of fancy celebrities out there. I like Keira Knightley a little bit.
All right, that's
no,
good.
The girl from what's it called? Garden State. What's her name?
Natalie Portman.
I like Natalie Portman a lot. She seems like a sweet girl.
There you go. Good choice. As you said earlier, big birthday coming up. Hitting 3-0 on June 2nd. Any big plans?
I'm going to go back to... I mean, I don't think I'm going to get a Memorial 8th or 9th alternate right now, whatever. It's been six in a row anyways. I mean, if I do get in, I'm 100% playing, and my family's coming up. But if I don't, then I'm going to go to Birmingham and hang out with my sister and my mom. Sarah lives in Nashville, but... she's going to come down and mom can take care of the baby. They have a 20-month-old and her husband and her and I and friend will all go out and hang out, you know. I haven't been to Birmingham in a while, probably since Christmas, so, and an easy flight from Dallas, so I'll just go to the ham and chill. I mean, I don't have any. I'm not a big birthday party type person, so I really hope they don't throw some kind of surprise thing. I don't want that to happen.
Well, now it's on record.
Yeah, now it's on record. I'll text my mom and be like, don't be planning anything crazy. I like to keep it pretty low-key. So, but yeah, 30s, that's kind of a fun one. I'm glad. I mean, I'm excited about getting older.
There you go. Not the usual not line of reasoning with that.
Not
but
at
that's
all.
Good.
I mean, getting older is the best thing that's ever happened to me. I'm not the same stupid kid I was before.
There you go. What's one or two events that you're really looking forward to the rest of the season that you've got circled?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the rest of the year. I mean, I mean the Players was one. I know that wasn't part of the question, but I mean Players and Honda. I was really excited about both of those. So, but going forward, dang man, I don't know. I mean, I hope I can play my way into the PGA. Mm-hmm. I mean, not that I'm in it right now. I would love to get in the British. I wish I could circle those. Getting to the playoffs is always really, really cool. Gosh, I mean, they're all so good. They really are. I'm trying to think. If I had the schedule in front of me, I might be able to do it. But I'm gonna let me just say the British and the PGA and just assume that I'm going to maybe play my way
in. Aim high.
Yeah, exactly.
Get the word to it. Well, all right. Anyway, that recaps everything I've got on my list.
Yeah,
so
cool.
I appreciate you joining us here on this Monday Scramble special podcast. Where can folks follow you on Twitter, since you're the social media wizard?
Yeah, Will Wilcox Golf.
Okay.
Pretty standard. So yeah, check me out.
There you go. And we'll readily respond to any and all DFS fantasy questions. And
almost. Pretty much all of them. I try. I mean, I assume people understand that you can't answer them all. So,
yes.
But I will try to answer as many as possible over the next day or two after they come in. And,
but on the spectrum of PGA Tour players, you're certainly one of the more active in terms of your response.
Yeah, I mean, I think people out here get a little too hoity-toity sometimes, and I don't think they want to respond to the negative comments, and it's amazing how upset people get. I'm definitely not one of those. I think it's funny. And, you know, I try to favorite every negative comment. So if you're listening to this right now, say something negative and I'll favorite it.
There you go. Send the hearts.
Yep.
All right. Well, this is Will Gray. Thanks, Will Wilcox, once again for joining us. This has been a Monday Scramble special podcast, and we will see you next time.
Yes, sir.